Rai, rai, rai.
Ever always an incredible schos to be together. To prepare for Shabbos Kodesh. Heilige Shabbos and Hadar. Mishenich nazadar marbim b'simcha. Doesn't mean it ends at Purim. We're going to continue the simcha. The simcha of Kirvus Elokim. The simcha of Shabbos Kodesh. The simcha of just knowing that Hashem is by our side every moment. You know, it's awesome just looking around. You know, it's a mamish close to 12. We start a little later than we usually start. To see mamish, see tzaddikim, mitamidei yosem mekulam, will come to learn and want to prepare for Shabbos. It's awesome. It's awesome. I just want to thank the chevra for all the chizik. And all the chizik tonight, all the soyers tonight, all the Torah tonight is being sponsored by Mahalia Talmud, Yedid Nafshi, Reb Mordechai, and Adassa Bennett. Mamish, they're, I want to say a Talmud and a Chaver, it's a Mamish like Mishpacha, Heilige Yidden, special Yidden who are holding up Baltimore Mamish in incredible ways. And really just for Besuras Toivas, for all of Klal Yisrael, they wanted to sponsor for Besuras Toivas, for all of Klal Yisrael, and it should be a Tzchus of Simcha and Bracha for them and their beautiful family, and for all of Klal Yisrael, for Besuras Toivas, we should have a week of Geula, a week of Simcha, a week of Nechama, a week where we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed a lot more than has been over these last 6 months. And Ula Bekaru Bez Hashem.
Amen.
There's a very famous Chabad Chassid of Shmuel Mankus. You've heard the name. He's a Talmud of the Baal Tanya. And he wanted to travel to the Baal Tanya to see the Rebbe, Shner Zalman of Liadi. He finally found someone who was traveling there. And they told him they have room on the back of the wagon. He could ride on the back of the wagon. But again, these were, you know, days in Europe in the cold winter. In the back of this wagon, the wagon was full of barrels of wine that he was transporting. And it was a few hours he was going to be, many hours on this wagon. And Rav Shmuel he was freezing cold. His mamish freezing cold. And he told the driver he needed something to warm him up or mamish she's not going to make it. So the driver, he opened one of the barrels and he allowed him to drink some of the wine that would warm his inside, the warmest panemius. And it got him through the rest of the drive. And he made his way, finally they got to the Baal Tanya. And he went to the Baal Tanya and he gave shalom to the Baal Tanya and he spoke to the Baal Tanya a few minutes. He had a shayla, he asked for a bracha. And then Rav Shmuel's monkey said to the Baal Tanya, okay, I'm leaving. And the Baal Tanya was shocked. Usually if you came to see the Rebbe, you'd stay for a few days, you'd daven with him for a few days, you'd spend more time with him, like you didn't travel all the way just for a few minutes. Not what a chassid usually did. So he asked Rav Shmuel, he says, really, leaving so soon? So he told him the story, I was in the wagon, and he said he was surrounded on the outside by all these bottles of wine. They left him frozen. And it wasn't until the wine entered inside that it warmed him up. And he realized this inspiration that we get, b'chitzonius, which is important at times, but that's not going to do enough for us until we affect our panemius. So to come to the Rebbe, to get a chizik of going through like we did, a Purim, it's somewhat b'chitzoinius. Of course, there's avoid of b'pnimius throughout the Purim, of course. We had a lot of it here, Baruch Hashem, and a shkoyach to everybody. But the ikr is the pnimius. What's the pnimius? The pnimius is our Torah. The pnimius is our tefillah. The pnimius is our avoidah. That's the pnimius. That's really what's being internalized and warming us. That's what the chassid said. So I got the chizik I need. I got the external inspiration. I got to work on my pnimius now. That's what he said to the Baal Tanya. So to each and every one of us. We went through a Purim. And every one of us in our own ways, whatever, how much we remember or not, there's no question. I don't know a person that I spoke to during, after, that wasn't lifted up by Purim. in a very beautiful way, the Tansing, the Torahs, the Avodah of Purim. But if we don't afterwards bring it into the Pnimius Halev and the Shama, how so? Through our davening, through our learning, through our chesed, through... It should be different. It should be different. Through our amuna. That's the avoda. And specifically, there's a big avoda on Purim. There's no question. And maybe what we need to work on post-Purim, take with us, is our machshava specifically, right? There's this tremendous goal on Purim to reach a level of ad lo yada. Whatever exactly, we spoke about that much over... And everybody has their different understanding of how they got there, what that exactly means. So Uri was sharing with me a beautiful pshat earlier that he felt. But the ad lo yada, whatever it means exactly, is an avoda b'machshava. Right? There's, we have machshava, dibur, and maisa. We have our thoughts, we have our words, and we have our action. And the seminal point of it all is machshava, the place of where everything begins within who we are our machshavos. In our machshavos, sometimes it's something very difficult. Vada, often we have good machshavos. And we have machshavos that we want to dive in and we want to learn, and machshavos to be close to Hashem. But sometimes we're also stricken with machshavos, with thoughts that are very hard, with thoughts that keep us down, thoughts full of temptation. You have no idea how often people cry to me about their hirurim that they don't know how to work on. You know, we talk a lot here at different times, specifically during Shoivavim on Shmir Senayim, which is obviously a very serious challenge in our door. And even those of us who Baruch Hashem are doing great and have done great for a while, we can't deny the challenge and keep on putting up proper gedarim, and ultimately something we have to constantly be strong and constantly battle. Just this week, and this has happened time and time again, and there's hardly a few days that go by that there's not an individual either on the phone or in person crying to me about, Rebbe, I don't want to think about these things, but I just do. I don't know how to work on that. And then their hurim often lead to maisim. But their hurim are there. Their hurim are very strong. The thoughts, the temptations in our mind, in our hearts, are very, very strong. And they're very real. How does one control their mind? How does one control their thoughts? Because again, you know, that's the part of the Avodah Purim, was Ad Lo Yada, to get to the point where your mind is in a place where I know nothing else but Rabbeinu Shalom. But my mind is not always there. My mind is in all different places. My mind has taivas, and my mind convinces me also that, you know, how important gashmias is, and how important mamonos is, and important physicality is, and all different types of things. And I want my mind to be kadosh, I want my mind to be Torah, I want my mind to be on Torah, I want my mind to be on Rabbeinu Shalom, I want my mind to be on my friends, and about caring for others. That's where I want my mind to be. The MS is, the beginning of our parasha, really, in a very deep sense, talks right to this, and there's no question that obviously every parasha, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zichus Tzedakah Shvracha taught us, you have to live with the parasha, and this is the first parasha after Purim. There's something to that, and if Purim is this avoda of the mind, listen to how the parasha begins. The parasha begins by Yidav Hashem Moshe Lemer, Tzav is Aaron v'Zban of Lemer, command Aaron his sons, Zois Torahs Oile, this is the Torah of the Oile. And then there's this, we'll get back to that in a minute, and then there's this tremendous emphasis on the Eish of the Mizbeach, on the fire of the Mizbeach. Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo. And then we have the famous pasuk that we've spoken about many times here before. Again, Eish HaMizbeach Tukad Bo Lo Sichbe. And then finally, Eish Tamid Tukad HaMizbeach Lo Sichbe. Pasuk after pasuk about a fire raging. About a fire raging that we can't extinguish. Why such an emphasis on this? What is this fire? And I want to first start by understanding a Rashi. First Rashi in the parasha, Tzav is Aaron. So Rashi says, Ein Tzav elo lashon zirus, miyadu ledoros. There's some by this, and this is by a carbon ola specifically, there's a need to tell us that there has to be zriza, some sort of zealousness, some sort of passion that we need for all doros. That means miyadu l'doros, for you and I. Now, last time I checked, I don't believe anybody here has ever brought a carbonola. But somehow, Rashi tells us, on the Lashon of Tzav, that there's an emphasis that we need some sort of zrizus on this mitzvah. Miyadu l'doros. Amar Reb Shimon, comes Reb Shimon, and Reb Shimon says, why? B'yoser tzarech ha-kasav l'zariz b'malkom sheyesh b'chesron kis. We need extra zealousness. We need extra passion. We need extra push when there's chesron kis. What's that mean? Sheyesh b'chesron kis. Pashipshat. Chesron kis means it's something that is a big loss, a major loss of money. A major loss of money. So a carbon ola, famously, more so than any other carbon, is a major loss of money. Why? Most other carbonos might cost a lot of money for the carbon, but you're going to eat some of it. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to have some nice ribs. So you don't think of it as chesron kis, of a lacking of money, of a loss of money, right? For example, a guy, chesnes, you go out to Doma and you spend, all these restaurants today, it's like amazing how much they rip us off. But okay, Lamaisa, we go. And you go to Doma and you pay, $75 for a steak. Pay $75 for a steak. You're not thinking about afterwards, I just lost $75. Why? Because you got to enjoy a steak. You enjoyed the steak. So you don't think that's chesron kis. Aber carbon oil is completely burnt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's chesron kis. And when we're completely losing a lot of money, you need extra zaris. That could be one. That's Pashup Shad and Rashi, right? There's something deeper here, I believe. There's something deeper here that somehow this needs to be L'dari Dairis. I saw an incredible Torah from the Chidush Arim. And through this Torah, we could explain a lot of why we need extra zrizus l'gdari dairis was right here, and what the chesron kis is. So, mamish, this statement of tzarech hakazav lazaris b'makom sheyesh is a statement of Reb Shimon. Stam Shimon is Reb Shimon bar Yochai. What else do we find from the words of Reb Shimon bar Yochai? The Medrash says about the carbon oil, this carbon that we're talking about. Medrash Rabba Zayin Gimel, Amar Reb Shimon bar Yochai, La'olam eina oila ba, ela al hirur halev. Watch this, put this together. You ready, Chavra? The carbon ola is mechaper on hirur halev, on our thoughts. On having hirurei shel iser, on having bad machshavos, on not thinking about what I should be thinking about. That's the carbon ola. So the same Reb Shimon who says, Sarach Lazarez, Yesh Bechesron Kis, says, this is talking about our Yerhurim. So listen to what the Chidush Arim says. Chidush Arim says something incredible. Chidush Arim says, obviously there's a lot of parts of our body that could fall and do things that are wrong. We have ears, right? And every one of us could be nichshol with our ears. We could listen to Lashon Hara. We could listen to people speak in a vulgar fashion. I got a phone call today from a young man, very special man, a tzaddik of a man. And he was together with some of his friends, and he's telling me about his friends who, on the exterior, there's one particular friend who looks very frum, who has a very frum look. And he opened up to me about something he was talking about and how much it hurt him, and he wanted to know if he should talk to someone about it, whatever it was. I won't repeat what was said. It was mamish something vulgar and disgusting and not something we should be talking about. Bichlal. And his ears heard this. But the truth is, when it comes to our ears, so the Gemara in Ksuvos already tells us, Gemara in Ksuvos, Daf Hey on the bottom, that the pasuk says, V'yasei tielecha al aznecha. And the Gemara learns, Al tikri azeincha el aznecha. Let's talk about your ears. Your ears have v'yasei. Whatever v'yasei. Yasei is like a peg. Shem yishma adam davar sheina hagun. If a person hears something, or is about to hear something that's inappropriate, yaniach etzbo ba'aznav. You could put your fingers are like a peg, and could close up your ears. And then the Gemara continues that so too you have your earlobes on the bottom that you could use, and you could close up your ears. So our ears, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in a way that our ears have the ability, something physical, to close them. They have a kiss. What's a kiss? A cover. They have a cover. They have, right? Mamish, you ever think about what the earlobes are for? Okay, so women have earrings. We don't wear earrings. I mean, I guess there are some men who wear earrings, but like, you know, what do you need the earlobes? The earlobes were created. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara is telling us to mamish close our ears, to remind us we could close our ears. We have the ability to close our ears. So too, what else do we have? We have our mouth. And our mouth can, lo aleinu, speak. Lashon Hara could speak in ways that are not appropriate. The Gemara in Erechin, Daf Tez Vav Mebeis, which talks a lot about Lashon Hara, says by our tongue, which is represents our speech, Shakpati l'cha shtei chomos, I surrounded the ability to speak with two walls. Achas shel etzem, one of bone, our teeth. Achas shel basar, one of flesh, our lips. So we have, when it comes to our mouth, we have the ability to close our mouth. When it comes to our ears, we have the ability to close our ears. When it comes to our eyes, even shmiras einayim, we have eyelids. I could close my eyes. So I have it's an amazing, our body was created in a way by the Rabbeinu Shalom, and obviously we have to still do it, but we have physical covers to all the parts of our bodies that can be nechshol. However, the Chiddush Urim says, when it comes to our thoughts, there's no cover. There's no way, if I'm having bad thoughts, I'm having thoughts that are inappropriate, I have no physical way to cover that. And that's very difficult. And that's what it means over here. He says, maybe, B'derech Drush, the same Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, who says, the Karban Oila is here, who are over my thoughts. Omer Reb Shimon, B'yoster Sarach Chazal Ezares, we need extra zrizus, extra passion, extra zealousness. B'makom, in a place, Sheyeshbo Chesron Kis, something that's lacking a cover. What's lacking a cover? My mind, my hirurim. Reb Shimon Litishitaso, incredible, you can't make this up. But that tells me, and we're just adding, that it's difficult. It's hard to control our thoughts. So what can we do? So my Rebbe Amori, the Shvili Pinchas, explained something so beautiful. In the same place, what do we talk about here? The Karban Oila, which is here, our lev. So the Pasuk says, and the Ber Mayim Chaim learned such a beautiful drasha. Zos Toras Ha'ola. This is the Torah of the Ola. And the Ber Mayim Chaim says that we can make a drasha here. Zos Toras Ha'ola. This is the Torah of the Ola. That our Torah learning has to be learned out from the Ola. What does that mean? Just like by the Karban Ola. It's completely for Hashem. There's no negios. Nothing is for you. So too, when we learn Torah, it has to be completely for Hashem, completely to connect to Hashem, to completely to build a relationship with Hashem, completely l'shma. And if we learn Torah in such a way, and we connect to Torah in such a way, we connect our minds to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through our Torah, and that's going to be the greatest shmira of our machshava. It's within the same place. Zois Torah Sa'ola. It's a beferish, very famous Rambam in Isurei Bia. What is the Rambam at the very end of the last words in Isurei Bia? The Rambam Isurei Bia talking about Lo Aleinu being nichshal in illicit relations. The Rambam in Isurei Bia. What does he say? Is his last Eitzah. Gedoyle mikol zos amru. You want to know what the Rambam tells you? How to make sure that our hirhurim, our thoughts, are pure, that our thoughts are holy, that our thoughts are connected to only what's good and not lo aleinu, negative things and inappropriate things. Yifna atzmo machshavto ledivrei Torah. Free yourself and your thoughts to Torah. V'yarchiv daito b'chachma, and widen your thoughts with wisdom. She'ein machshavas arayas, thoughts of arayas, thoughts of illicit relations, cannot misgaberas ella b'leiv panem min hachachma. It cannot rule over you unless you're free of Torah. Zos Torah sa'ola. The oila is hira alev, which is chesron kiss. It's hard to control thoughts. You know how you control thoughts? The Ber Mein Chaim, Zos Torah sa'ola, and what the Rambam is telling us? Learn and learn and learn. But it can't. I want to explain what's interesting, and if you paid attention to the Rambam, the way he just said it, it's not, people say all the time, and they tell me, Rebbe, but it doesn't work. Meaning, at a point when the machshavos are raging, when the thoughts and the taivas are already raging, so what do I do at that moment? And people have told them, go sit and learn, and they say, it doesn't work. I try to learn, but I can't learn. My mind is already just thinking about ichvesnish, some inappropriate image or something, whatever it is. Because that's not what the Rambam said, and that's not what we're saying here. We're saying if you really learn Lishma and you really learn, you're never going to get to the point where the machshavas will be so raging. Yes, once they're raging, there's another eitzah I'll get to in a minute. But the only way they get there, he says, ein machshavas arayas misgaberes ela b'leiv panim min hachachma. It's because you weren't learning enough Torah. You weren't connecting enough to Torah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah to learn, to delve into. All of us on our own amounts. But when we have time to real, but it has to be, you're really in it. It has to be like an oila. You're fully in. When we learn Torah, we have to be fully in. Lo aleinu, that anyone should have a seder and be learning Torah with their phone next to them, or their phone, mamish. That's the antithesis of being fully in. When we're learning Torah, our phone has to be, if it has to be on us for some reason, because I have nowhere else to put it, it should be on airplane mode. Should be able, looking around, at least no one right here has a wife who's in their 9th month in Chveisnish, that you need to maybe check your phone. For generations, nobody needed to check their phone because there was no phone. Suddenly now there's a phone and you have to have it on you 24/7. Maybe put yourself fully engaged into something. You know, you're going to, some of the chevra already is in the parish of dating, and you're going to, but the chevra who's not there yet, or some of the chevra might be there too prematurely, whatever, with different chevra here. Lamaisa, you're dating, and you go out on a date, and you take a young woman, and you go out to Chveisnish, you go out and take her to Doma, I don't know, you take her out to eat, right? Doma, hopefully that's already, you know, I don't mean the first few dates, I don't know, I guess it depends who you are. But Lamaisa, you take her out to eat. Would you dare in the middle of the day, you're talking, and you're talking about things, whatever, you're talking about what you did over your summers, and you're talking about what type of schools you hope to send your kids to one day. I don't know, whatever the conversation goes. In the middle, you go and you take out your phone and just check it. You want to see if, you know, because you felt it a little bit. Hashem Yerachim, if that girl goes out with you again. That's how engaged you are in this relationship, that in the middle of, when you're showing this young woman that you want to develop a relationship with her, you go and you say, oh, right now I don't care about you for a few months. I care about somebody else, which I don't even know who it is that I'm about to care about. I don't even know who it is that I'm about to care about. But that's more important than you. Seriously? No, of course you're not going to do that. You're not taking out and looking at your phone on a date, ever. You know what it is every time I sit and learn Torah? Every time I sit and learn Torah, I'm taking the Rabbani Shalom on a date. I'm getting to know him better, developing a deeper relationship with him. God forbid you take out your phone. You take out your phone. First of all, no base batei midrashas that are serious should allow phones in the base medrash. Shouldn't allow. Maybe by a married guy, that if his wife is just 9 months pregnant, different discussion. Or if there's some other emergency type situation, medical situation going on. Otherwise, phones should not be allowed in batei midrashas. Everyone's going out on dates with their phone. Why should anyone take out a phone? Because let me tell you, when you learn like that, meaning without it, you're fully in. And if you're fully in, your mind is grasped by the Torah, by the Rabbani Shalom, and then it's not free to wander into places of taiva, even when you're away from it. That's what takes over your mind. That's what your mind is. You're a Torah Dika Yid. You're a Kadosh Dika Yid. You're a Torah Dika Yid. It's a very important avodah. What about lo aleinu when it does happen?
Because nothing's perfect, even with all the etzes in the world. What about the time? How is Torah going to help me in the moment when my taiva starts to rage and my machshavas are going there and I don't want to fall and I don't want to look at something inappropriate? How's Torah going to help you in that? Because we're saying still, it's the Torah, Zois Torah Sola. Because then a lot of guys have told me it doesn't really help in that moment because I've already fallen in my thoughts. So there's an interesting lashon in the Gemara in Kedushin that I think we have to remember there. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lama Bebe says, Im pogabo menuvel zu. If this menuvel already grabbed onto you, if for whatever reason, whether it's because you weren't learning before, or whatever the reason might be, Im pogabo menuvel zu. If what? If it did grab onto you. What does the Gemara there say? Mashchu lebeis medrash. Mashchu lebeis medrash. Doesn't say just sit and learn. It says pull him to the beis medrash. And I tell guys, there's twofold in that. I tell guys all the time, when you start to have machshavos that are not good, you got to change your location, change your scenario, change your situation. You can't think your way out of it. That's why just pulling out a sefer doesn't work. Machshava is so strong, ein bo chesron kis. Yesh bo chesron kis. It's lacking any cover. So strong. So if you just, to think your way out of it, it's not going to work. But if you run into a different place in a whole different situation, that itself works, and no better place than Torah. So what do you do? Mashchu le beis medrash. Literally run to the beis medrash. Go, not just to learn somewhere else. Go in a different location. Go to the beis medrash. And you'll see that will help. That will cool you down. And then you'll sit and learn, and that machshava will take over again. That's Nekud Aleph. But there's another eitz I want to talk about tonight. And I was actually going back and forth the last couple days whether we should talk about what I'm about to talk about. What I mean by that, not because I don't think the chever here, I think it's very shaykh to it, but it's a very deep idea. It's a very deep idea. And you have to listen to it to appreciate it. I don't think it's something I've spoken about before. Another eitzah to work on our hiruim, to work on our machshava. Vadif, we lo aleinu think we could be nichshal when it comes to Shemir Sanayim and Shemir Habris. But in any area, if you feel you're going to be nichshal into a place of taiva, you feel you're going to fall into a place of temptation, and anyone can. No one's above that. No one's above that. So the Ramak. The Ramak was a big mekubal. The Ramak was mekabel from Eliyahu HaNavi a certain segula, and we're going to explain it here tonight. To say over and over, Eish tomid tukol amizbeach loisichpe. So you feel that taiva's raging, you feel that you're about to give in to your taivas, Eish tomid tukol amizbeach loisichpe. And say it a few times. What exactly does that mean? How's that going to work, you know? Whoever knows me by now, not that I'm not into schoolers, but like, everything, we have to understand it, has to be real, and has to, what does that mean exactly? So my Rebbe, the Shulah Pinchas, explains it in the following way, based on an idea from the Hilag HaNoyim El Malach in Tzetel Katan. First of all, it happens to be right now, is Yutas Adar. The Rebbe of Melech Yortzai, it's Chaf Aleph, so to learn within a few days, the Torah. So if you know a little bit of Noam El Melech in the Sefer, in the back of the Sefer, you have the Tzetel Katan. What's the Tzetel Katan? These are ideas that the Noam El Melech left. It's basically like Eitz HaToyva for us. A last will and testament, giving us good advice from the Rebbe. Probably solid to learn and to live by. Listen to what he says. I'll read you a little bit of Aleph and a little bit of Gimel. And my Rebbe, Shish Pinchas, thinks that this was all based on this idea from Eliyahu Navi. B'chol eis v'rega shupanei min haTorah. The time when you happen not to be learning Torah, everybody needs time to chill. Everybody needs time to relax. Everybody a different amount of time, whatever that is. B'pratshu yoshev bato levada b'cheder o shochev al mitaso. And we know how it is. This is when sometimes the hardest times. We're sitting in our room alone. This is what he says. I'm reading you from the Noam Eli Melech. This sounds like something that could be written, you know, in the Chvesnish. What's the name of Rav Stark's book? You know, Yisod Abayis. You know, one of or that other one, that guy who wrote The Challenge of Our Time. That book, you know, the guy from Greinik, I think he was. Whatever it is. It sounds like something that could be written, you know, a guy is sitting, Yoshev Batal Vada Becheder, a Shochev Al Mitaso, he's lying in his bed, Ve'ena Yacholishon, he's not able to sleep. Those sometimes are the hardest of times. That's when the Machshavos start going. What should you do? He says, Yimahar B'mitzvah Zasezu, Shel V'nikdashti, B'soch B'nei Yisrael. Very interesting how far he goes. Immediately you should start thinking about wanting to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Nikdashti B'soch B'nei Yisrael, of B'mekadei Shem Shemayim, of dying out Kiddush Hashem. V'damei B'nafsho B'sar B'machshavto, and you should think to yourself and paint a picture, Kilu Eish Gadol V'Nora Bor Lefanov, as if there's this massive fire burning in front of you, Adleiv Hashemayim until heaven. And you're not going to give in to your taivas. You're not going to give in to your hurim. You're willing to jump in that fire. This is all demyonos. This is all imaginary, obviously. But this is what the Rebbe Melech says you should do. And this machshava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it into as if it's an action. So when you lay there, you're no longer just sitting there doing nothing. It's like you're mekadei shem shemayim v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael. It's like you accomplished that. Let me read a little bit more, just skipping the gimel. Gam b'shas achila v'zivug yichavin. And you're involved in other physical activities. And kishiyaschu lahargish tanu gashmi. You start to feel a lot of physical pleasure and want to jump into more physical pleasure. Also, he says, realize you can have much more pleasure from being mekadei shem shemayim, meragoshes tana gashmi hazeh, and say, I'd rather not give in to this taiva. Whatever pleasure I'm going to get from this taiva, there's much more pleasure to give by jumping in a fire, basically. These are from the Noam Eli Melech. So my Rebbe Shlomo Pinchas put this together with the school of Eish Tamid Tukan Vechlo Sichbe. And he says, maybe that's exactly what Eliyahu Navi meant. Listen closely, Chevra. And this is how he explains it. And this is something, maybe, I don't know if anyone ever thought of it like this, but Mamish, a unique Eitzah that Mamish we could all use and live by and might save us. Might save our lives. It's an amazing thing that each and every one of us has. It's our part of our chemical, biological makeup that we're willing to mamish give up our life to die out Kiddush Hashem. And literally thousands and thousands of simple Jews in our history have done it. That if lo aleinu, someone came to you or I and said, mamish, either serve avodah zara or give up your life, we give up our life for the Eibishter. Commit adultery or give up your life, we give up our life for the Rabbanu Shalom. We do it. I know it's hard to imagine because we're Bez Hashem, we should never be put in that predicament. But Mamish Yidden for generations have been willing to do this. And we've gone through pogroms and gone through situations. Yidden that are giving their lives as Kiddush Hashem. And in a different sense, we see our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael right now. We see every single soldier willing to give up his life for Klal Yisrael. Give up his life for Eretz Yisrael. Give up his life for the Eibishter. Give up his life. And families that are willing to be makabla with their husbands, with their brothers, with their children. Give up our life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaver, you hear what he's saying? Listen closely, Mamish, the deepest of deep. If we'd be willing, and we would, to give up our life for the Rabbeinu Shalom, not to serve Avodah Zarah. We give up our life for the Rabbeinu Shalom. To fight for Klal Yisrael, fight for Eretz Yisrael. So the next time, lo aleinu, that a person has hirurim and could possibly be brought to the brink in a place where you could do something that's so low and so spitting in the Rabbeinu Shalom's face, say to yourself, just like I jump in a fire for Eibishter in that situation, I'd be willing, remind myself, so how could I give in to this? I'd be willing to jump in a fire now. than be nichshal in such a way? How could I allow myself to do this to the Eibishter? I'm willing to give up my life for the Ribbono Shalom. So I'll be willing to give up my life for Hashem and not do this. Yeah, I'm willing to die for Hashem, but I'm not going to be willing to give up this pleasure for Hashem. I'm willing to literally give up my life and jump in a fire for Hashem, but I can't give up this pleasure for Hashem. I can't give up looking at some image of the lowest of low for Hashem. Vaday can. If I would be willing, again, listen to the sushtel, chevra. If I'd be willing to give up my life for Hashem, which I believe I would, and there are thousands and millions of yidden throughout our history have, so I can't give up this for Hashem. And that's exactly why I'm saying that. So say to yourself, that's what the Eliyahu Navi was saying, and that's what Noam HaMelech is saying. He's saying, be Meiser Nefesh. And once you realize and remind yourself, you'd be willing to literally die for Hashem. So if I'm willing to die for Hashem, I can't give up this pleasure for Hashem? And you walk away proud to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. What an etzah. What an avodah. The Baal HaTanya says this is what it is when we say Shema, is part of our machshava should be. The Baal HaTanya, start off with the story of the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya says at the end of Perek Chaf Hei, Ubezeh Yuvan, the whole parak's about this. Ubezeh Yuvan, Lama Tziva Moshe Rabbeinu Shavah Mishta Torah, Ladar Shenichnu Laretz Likros Kriyashma Pamayim B'chol Yom. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu said that each and every one of us, we have to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is Mekabel Omach Shemayim, twice every day. Lekabel Omach Shemayim B'mesiris Nefesh, with self-sacrifice. I'm willing to give up my life for Hashem. Rabbi Akiva waited for that moment. El Mishum Shekiyim HaTorah Mitzvoseh, keeping Torah and Mitzvos, Toloi Bezeh, is dependent, Sheyaskir Tomid, you should always remember, Inyan Mesiris Nafsho L'Hashem HaYichudo, that I'm willing to give up my life for Hashem, for His oneness. He's telling us, that's what I have to constantly remember, twice a day. And then I realize, if I'm willing to give up my life for Hashem, I'm not willing to give up this Taiva for Hashem, I'm willing to jump in a fire for Hashem, of course I'll give up this Taiva for Hashem. How could I not? When I'm so low? That's the void of each and every one of us, Chavra. The void of each and every one of us. To have such a hurim, to be makadish my hurim. You know, it's true that hurim are difficult. Chesron kiss, as we said before. Hurim are lacking a cover. And but we have ways. First, as we said, we have Torah. Sit and learn Torah, and you have to sit and learn Torah like Torah's Oila, fully giving myself over to Torah. And that alone will help me not have the Ahurim that hold me down. And in the moments when I start to, I run to the Beis Medrash. But the other avodas, try this Eitzah. To sell yourself, think about the fire. Think to yourself, I'd be willing to give up my life for Hashem. I'm not going to give up this pleasure for Hashem. To end the story, we said before, but I was thinking about the story recently, especially with all the soldiers. This was a story of soldiers years and years ago in Russia. You know, the Yidden in Russia years ago, nobody wanted to be drafted into the Russian army, spiritual suicide in the Russian army for 25 years. And one year he went to the Sfas Emes for a bracha. 18-year-old man, he went for a bracha that he shouldn't be drafted in the army. And Sfas Emes says, wait here for a minute. And he goes to the back, to the room in the back, and he brings back a little kuntris on how to do a bris milah. But remember the story, if you haven't heard, it's fabulous. Shlomo Karbach used to tell him his story. And he says, I'm sorry, I can't give you a bracha, you're going to be drafted, but take this and learn this, and this will be a shmirah for you. Kuntris on how to give a bris milah. Very strange. Soldier goes and he's in the army and he's an excellent soldier and every day he learns a little bit of the sefer. One day the general comes to his barrack, check in, and most of the other soldiers in his unit were very dirty and sloppy. He was the only one neat and good. And the general came, and he was very upset. He looks, where's the commander of this unit? Starts screaming at him, what kind of soldier? He says, listen, these are the soldiers you gave me. What could I do? But I want you to know, I have one soldier. He's clean and neat. He happens to be Jewish, but he's amazing. And the general says, send him to me. I want to talk to him. And he finds the soldier. The soldier's mom is trembling. You know, whenever as a Jew, you never wanted to be brought to the general. He walks into the general's office. And the general pulls out his gun. And the general says, I heard you're an incredible soldier. You're neat, you're clean, you're orderly. But I also heard that you keep kosher because you're a Jew. You're in the Russian army. If you're keeping kosher, you're eating very little. You're only eating the fruits, the vegetables. I command you to stop so you can be strong and healthy and be the best soldier you can be. And he points the gun at him. And this yid looks him in the eyes and says, I'm a soldier in the Russian army and I'll do what I can for you, but I'm a soldier for God first. I'm not going to eat non-kosher. The general takes the gun and cuts right up to his chest. He says, I heard you also keep Shabbos. You're in the Russian army. No longer could you keep Shabbos. As he's holding the gun to his chest, and this Jewish soldier says, with all due respect, general, I'll be the best soldier that I could be, but I'm a soldier for God first, and I'm going to continue to keep Shabbos. And with the gun pressed against his chest, the general takes the gun and he puts it right back into his holder. And his whole demeanor changes. He's calm, he's nice, he's friendly. And he looks at the soldier. He says, I need to tell you a secret. I'm also Jewish. I was drafted years ago and people forgot I was Jewish and I worked my ways up and I became a general. Nobody remembers that I'm Jewish even. And you know, I got married eventually also to a Jewish girl, but we don't practice anything. A few days ago we had a baby boy. I was talking to my wife and we said, even though we don't do anything Jewish, how can we not give him a bris milah? We know we're supposed to. But we were talking about it. We said, how are we going to find someone who knows how to do it? To give the bris milah. And here you are. I heard from your commander that you're a Jew and that you keep kosher, you keep Shabbos. The general said, listen, now that we just made clear that you keep Shabbos and kosher with the threat of your life, I don't know anything about someone who's a moel, but I know they have to keep kosher and Shabbos. Would you be able to give my son a circumcision? Because if you would, I'm going to take you out of the army and I'll write your papers that you can go for good. Every day he was learning how to do a bris milah from the Sfas Emes. He said, yeah, I think I could do it. And he went and he did the circumcision and he was free to go. You hear such a story, you think, wow, what a miracle. The miracle of the Sfas Emes is Ruach HaKodesh and definitely the Temes. And there are other lessons I've learned from the story and brought out from the story before. But I think tonight is just a Pashut lesson that Yidden throughout our history are willing to give up their lives for the Rabbeinu Shalom. For Torah, for mitzvahs, for Shabbos, for Kashrus, Shas Hashmad. So you and I, how can we not give ourselves up and give up our pleasures for the Rabbeinu Shalom? And imagine that. And say, I'm with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even in difficult times. And Eretz Hashem, you know what's going to happen through that? We're going to be Mitar and Makadish, our Machshavos. And if Makadish and Mitar and Machshavos will lead to our Dibur and our Maisim in the proper way, Bikdush Vitara, and all they're going to find is the ultimate Simcha to Zoyche Mamish, if we show HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're Moshe Nefesh for him. So he's going to say, these are the Yidden I want to be with, and he'll Megal himself with Biach Mashiach, with Gula Shlema, B'mehera B'yameinu.
Amen.